Okay. Geshe-la had some business to take care of today, and so he asked me if I'd do this at very short notice. He didn't tell me until like yesterday, just before we climbed the mountain. So I didn't have much time to prepare. Anyway, I'll just go. Basically, he wanted me to cover the what we're trying to accomplish in this course, and then a bit of hypertexting. So I just thought I'd, just for, especially for the sake of people who are not here and maybe people who are new, I thought I would just go over the basis of Geshe-la's projects, you know, where it's all coming from, okay? So so you have to start with the Buddha, right, Lord Buddha. So as you know, Lord Buddha taught 2,500 years ago in India, and the things that he taught directly were collected in the sutras, and those have been passed down. Some of them have been passed down to us. Now, after that time, his teachings spread all over Asia, and some of them went to places like Sri Lanka and Burma and China, and at different times, the teachings would spread there. Now, after Lord Buddha died, then teachers came, like Nagarjuna, for instance. Nagarjuna was predicted by the Buddha to come and kind of like clarify his teachings. But there was others. Chandrakirti also, he kind of clarified Nagarjuna's teachings. And there was others, like we've had like Master Shantideva. And that was like the second wave of teachings. And they kind of, during that period, the Mahayana was, it wasn't like it was started then, because it came from the Buddha, but it was elaborated on and became well known. And that was maybe from 200 to, actually all the way until the time that that Buddhism disappeared from India. And and then at the same time, later in that period, maybe around 1000 AD, something like that, I think Vajrayana started to become more prevalent. And about the same time, the teachings were taken to Tibet. So all these three different schools of teachings were taken to Tibet and started to translate. And then about the same time, there was an invasion, and the monasteries in India were destroyed. Before that point, all these three different traditions were side by side taught in the Indian monasteries, and people kind of did what appealed to them. So some people might be interested in Mahayana, and some people might be interested in Vajrayana, and they would be practicing maybe both, or and so there was like in the great monasteries like Nalanda, some of the teachers would be teaching one thing and some would be teaching others, and people would just go as their, it's almost like the way it is now, you know, you have your Vipassana teachers and then you have Zen teachers, and it was kind of the way it is here. That people would go where they felt an appeal, and you might go and study with one teacher for a while. And anyway, those were all destroyed in India, but meanwhile, the teachings had pretty much successfully been transmitted to Tibet and translated. They had translators who, they set up special dictionaries so that it was very one-to-one. The word for one thing in Sanskrit became something in Tibetan that was always translated the same way. And so as a result, you can back-translate from Tibetan and you can get the Sanskrit text exactly as it was in the Sanskrit, which is something that we're not doing. And I think it's very valuable in a way, because it's it makes it really clear, and it's a very pure transmission. So then after that, the teachings were all over. Some of the different schools only went, well, some of the different places only got one or two of these schools. So for instance, In some of the southern countries, the Mahayana teachings didn't go, and the Vajrayana teachings, either they weren't transmitted there or they died out. In China, it was predominantly, they didn't have such a strong Vajrayana tradition. In Tibet, they had all three flourishing. And so actually the teachings in Tibet were the most complete in terms of their scope. Then in 1959, Tibet was invaded. All their libraries were burned. And people, most of the monks and the teachers were either killed or escaped barely with just whatever they could carry. They carried out their most precious texts. You know, they were the ones that they needed to keep close to them. But so, many of the lineage holders were killed in Saramay. The tantric school was destroyed. All the teachers in that school died, and as a result, none of that came out of Tibet. Some of the books had made it already to other countries. Like for instance, the Tsars in Russia were very much interested in Tibetan Buddhism. There was the Kalmyks and other displaced Mongolian tribes were in what was included in the Soviet Union. And so there were there's a lot of crossover in places like Siberia. And in St. Petersburg, they set up a big library. Actually, I think it was Tsar Peter, Peter the Great. I think he was the one who set up the library in St. Petersburg. And so there's a big collection of Tibetan texts that actually, many of them were destroyed in Tibet, didn't make it out of Tibet, but they were preserved there. But actually, when they set up the monasteries in South India, they didn't have any of that. They were using things like, you know, they memorized them, which was a good thing. They memorized their textbooks. So they could go and they could recreate them from memory pretty much. And then the great teachers, a few of them, Trijang Rinpoche got out. The monks were living in a concentration camp. It had been formerly a concentration camp where Gandhi had been held. And they were living there in Buxa. And Trijang Rinpoche was teaching, and he was teaching all of them from all the different schools, even though he was from one monastery, but he was teaching all of the lamas there. And so he became actually a lineage. You know, he was in a lot of the lineages that were preserved came through him. And there were some others who made it out, and they were teaching. But a lot of times without books or with very primitive conditions. When Geshe-la first went to Sera, he was saying that they didn't have any water and they were drinking out of mud puddles. And it was really difficult, and it looked like Buddhism might die out at that point because it had already died out or was very much suppressed in a lot of the Asian countries. So then it struck me while I was preparing for this that at the end of the Diamond Cutter Sutra, the Buddha talks about how the teachings will die out, remember? And first the practice dies out, and then the teachings die out. So first people stop practicing, then they lose the teachings in their heart, they no longer understand, and then finally the books die out. And so it looked like it was getting to that point. I've never talked about this with Geshe-la, but I can see what he's, you know, I've seen his plans for what he has in mind. And it looks to me like what he was trying to do is to reverse this process. So first you start with the text. And that's always, when he's ever made a flow chart on what his plans for the world are, it starts with saving the text. Okay, so he started ACIP. He went to Russia. First of all, he got the texts that existed, and he got the monks to type them in, and then he paid them to do it, and then he used the money. He gave the individual operators a certain salary, and then he gave the monastery three times that much to feed all the rest of the monks, to try and help them keep going. So they started typing in texts, and so those are being preserved, and also he was sending them out on, well, first of all, it was on floppy disks, and then on CDs, and now we're trying to do it on the internet, so that they're accessible to anybody, anywhere. So that's the purpose of ACIP. It's mainly just to preserve the texts, and also to make them accessible in a really unique way, but I'll get to that later. So that was the first thing. The second thing, so that's preserving the texts. Since then, he's gone to St. Petersburg, has this big collection. They're cataloging them. And he found a lot of the textbooks from the different monasteries, which they had lost. And he's reprinted them and given them back to the monasteries. So now they have their textbooks back. And they can really, you know, it's not just from memory. It's not written with cow urine on a piece of scratch paper. You know, it's real printed and using the ACIP database. So those are all being preserved now. Then more recently in the past maybe 5 years, the monks are a little reluctant. You know, they have other things to do, and they're, you know, they're not quite as hungry as they were before. So he started using as input operators the women in the refugee camps, the Tibetan women refugees, and they turned out to be much better at inputting than the monks were. And so a lot of the texts are being input by women refugees now. And it's nice for them because they can take their children, and normally they wouldn't have any kind of income other than... Generally, what they do is they make carpets, they knit sweaters, and that's pretty much what the women do in the refugee camps. And there's not much. It's hard to sell sweaters in South India because it's, you know, maybe 3 days out of the year you might need a sweater, but you know, so it's really good work for them, and it gives them, they don't have to leave home in order to do the work. So he's got them doing that. More recently, he's been looking for Sanskrit texts for the yoga stuff, and also in Mongolia, cataloging the books there. And there's a few other places I think now, Ladakh, starting to go there, and just finding books. You know, all these different, all the different books from the Tibetan translations. The ACIP collection is in three different sections. And this is important for this course because we're searching these collections. The first one is what they call Kangyur. Those are the actual words of the Buddha, the sutras. And when everyone gets the database on your computer, you'll have three sections: Kangyur, Tengyur, and Sungbum. Kangyur is the words of the Buddha. Tengyur is the Indian commentaries. So those would have been from, like, I guess even shortly after the Buddha up through pretty much 1000 AD. And then subsequently, the Tibetan commentaries, those are called Sungbum. Sungbum means, it's like a collected works. And usually it's a Sungbum of a particular teacher. They'll say, you know, the Jetsun Kapa Sungbum will be the collected works of Jetsun Kapa, but he just sort of briefly calls it Sungbum. So when you look for, for instance, you're looking for a text, you start out with Sungbum, then you go to Jetsun Kapa, and then, you know, or else you can go through by category. But you'll always go to one of the three, Kangyur, Tengyur, or Sungbum. Okay, so that's the text. Then the next one is, the second to the last thing that dies out is the teachings themselves. And so what he's done in that case is, well, as we all know, is that he's been doing ACI courses and teaching people, all of us, for years. And one of the things that's really emphasized in the from the very beginning in the ACI courses is that it's the teachers translation program, and you're teaching people to translate, teaching people to teach. And in both those ways, it's helping to preserve the Buddhist teachings in a way that's relevant to people. Quite a few people have learned Tibetan through these courses, particularly the kind of, you know, the text Tibetan, like what we're doing now. The other thing that has been really important has been to teach people, and he's emphasized this more than most teachers I've come across, is to really teach to the level of the people who are who you're teaching. So first of all, it was ACI courses for people who are interested in Buddhism, and now it's kind of branching out. You know, people are interested in other things, and how do you teach Dharma to people who are really interested in health or yoga or something like that? And so I think we'll see more and more of kind of the teachings popularized in a way that makes sense to people who haven't got the mental seed to be studying Buddhism. Oh, I forgot to mention that under teachings, that before he started teaching, he trained himself. He was trained completely in the lineage of the Tibetan Buddhist lineage, going through the monastery, finishing and getting the Geshe Jugri. So he has the same credentials that any Tibetan Lama that would come here has. And I think that's really important because it means that we can do it too. And otherwise, we might think that you have to have a Tibetan come and teach. Whereas now I think it's becoming, and not just in our group, but in other groups too, that it's becoming more and more accepted that Westerners can teach. I'm sorry?
Aren't some of us reincarnated Tibetans?
Well, who knows? Who knows? Maybe, maybe not. And maybe the Tibetans are reincarnated Americans. But, you know, there's this kind of popular thought that you have to have an Asian face in order to teach Dharma. And I think one of the things that Geshe-la has done for people is to make that, to sort of debunk that. Okay, so that's the teachings. And then Diamond Mountain is the practice, and also Godstow. And I think the purpose is to create a place where people can actually really do these things and get the realizations. And that's when this process is reversed like that, and at that point when people are starting to get realizations in retreats here, then we'll know that the Dharma hasn't died out after all. And so that's sort of what we're trying to accomplish here. Okay, so where we fit in with this course is translation, making the teachings available to. So there's so many books in the Tibetan, you know, so many amazing books that haven't been translated, and I think what Geshe-la wanted to do, because he can only, you know, he sits and translates like all day long, but it's just one person, and I think he thought, well, you know, he needs to clone himself, and so that's why he wants to do this, to teach people how to translate, and especially on the internet, so that people who aren't here can also, or even aren't online when it's being taught, can go in later and find out, okay, this is how you translate it, and you know, here's the thought that went into it, and one of the really good things that he wants to demonstrate with this is the database, how the database works. let me see. I have it on here. I don't have Gopher because there's no Gopher program that works on a Macintosh, unfortunately.
That's what Ted is working.
But it's prettier.
It's prettier. Yeah. So let's see. I have a couple websites here. There's this, when it goes on the screen, it becomes much bigger. I don't know what's happening.
It blows up everything on the screen.
Weird, huh? Anyway, so I'll make it smaller so I can look at it. Okay, so here's the website for the translators course. It's www.dmes.org/TIBTRANS. And that's the website for this course. And it has, as you can see, you can download the root texts here. You can download the current translation of the text, what we're working on. And then, let's see. And then see every class is here with the quizzes, homeworks, answer keys. Okay. And then here's the ACIP database. So by going through this website, you can get to the database. Hopefully it'll work. Okay, here it is. Anyone can download from this. So this will be www. I'm just repeating this for the sake of people who are only hearing the audio. www.dmes.org/tibtrans/acip-gmr/. So this has, you can download this is a little different from the way it's arranged on the ACIP website, because it's arranged according to the way Geshe-la has it on his computer, which is how he's going to demonstrate it in class. And it's a lot, there's a lot of stuff here that really we're probably not going to use. Like newdata.zip hasn't been processed. Hopefully people in this class will be processing it. But let me just do Kangir. That's the sutras, right?
As you're opening this?
Oh, wait a second. It doesn't open like that. Never mind. Yeah?
I was going to ask, how complete is our Kangir and Tengir at this point?
I think, which one? One of them was almost finished. I think it might be the Kangir. Do you remember?
I heard rumors that the Kangir was 95% done.
I think
we
so.
We actually have a couple of different Kangirs, parts of a couple of different Kangirs, as well as pretty close to complete Kangir. But the main challenge is that we have them all input. We don't necessarily have them all cataloged and split up.
Listening to something.
Media, by the way, probably didn't hear that.
I'm sorry, what was it? Say it again and I'll repeat
it. 95% of the Kangir.
95%
of
the Kangir.
A lot of it hasn't been split. A lot of it hasn't been broken up.
Uh-huh. What?
You see Geshe-la searching, doing his searches. Is it possible to do that on a Macintosh?
It is. Well, Ted's working on the search engine.
But not quite?
Not quite yet.
It's not ready yet. Now, I've lost my file. That's kind of bad. It changed all my icons when I did this thing. And
this is why I always have it sort the icons into a specific order. Because then
oh, how do you do that?
Under view, yeah. 10,
clean up?
Arrange by name.
Oh, okay. It's still not going to do it because one of them disappeared into one of the others.
It's a little more challenging.
They just pile them up.
Huh?
Theory, yes.
I think it might be in here, but I'm not sure.
Actually,
oh, yeah, here we go. I think it's in here. Oh, there it is. Okay, cool. Okay, this is how Geshe-la does it. He does it in an A file. He calls it A. And it's the easiest thing to. Okay, so here's all these things. I'm going to get that out of the way. Just so you can see how he arranges it. So I'll do Sungbum. Okay, so then you have all these different categories. Okay, so I don't even know what most of them are, but Chang'e is, Chang'e. Dua is Vinaya. Gyu is Middle Way, right? Lojong is Lojong. Lamrim is Lamrim. Namtar is Spiritual Biographies. Oh, that's Perfection of Wisdom. So then within that, there are, and see, this is why it's easy to search it, right? So here's Chunidrapa Shedrup, right? And so all of his works on that particular topic are in this one file. And so then, if you know you're looking for one of his works on a particular topic, then you can just search that particular area. And you don't have to search the entire database. Then I think you've all seen him demonstrate the gopher, the gopher thing. So you define your search in a certain way, and then you go through these trees, as he calls them, to find the one you're looking for. So here's Tengyur. Not as much stuff in Tengyur. I think there's even less in Kangyur. So these are all the teachings from the Buddha. Here's the Vinaya texts. There's just a couple of each one. Okay, so that's basically how those are set up, and you can download them from that website. And then if people have DOS, then you can use the Gopher program, which is available, I think. It might be on the ACIP website, and if not, it's...
I just put it up on
is it on ours?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's on the TIBTRAN site. So, and then the other ones will be available soon, I think. We hope. Okay, let's see. What else did I want to say? I remember. That's not very pretty. Let's put something else up. This is an interesting thing to know about, too. This is the bulletin board. For
just hit the green button to make it fit the screen.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Cool.
Hit it twice, maybe.
It's fitting the screen, isn't it? No, maybe it isn't. You're right. Yeah, okay.
No,
that's
sorry.
Worse? This is more or less fitting the screen, but not really.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... this is for people who are somewhere else. This is the Diamond Mountain Translators Bulletin Board. And we post all the announcements and all the translations, instructions on how to do it. So anyone who wants to participate in this program, it's www.dmes.org/trans. Dash B-board, and that's the bulletin board. So it has a lot of, you can ask questions and hopefully somebody answers you. And so here's hypertexting. So we had a lot of different people sign up to or tell us that they were interested in this program. So we kind of rather hopefully set up areas for French translations, Italian translations, German, Spanish, Chinese, Greek, Hebrew, Mongolian, Polish, Portuguese, Russian, and European Spanish. And we're hoping that people will... the whole point of this translation program is to make translations available in all different languages. And so we're really hoping that the people who are listening in other places will start to translate and to upload them to this website so that other people who translate can look at them. And what would be really nice is if people start... we're hoping it'll stimulate some kind of dialogue, and that can be on the B-board, between people who are translating these things. And then ultimately the point is to make a translation dictionary from all the different languages so that there comes to be a dictionary, say, in French, one in German, one in English. And so in order to do that, that's where the hypertexting comes in. The hypertexting is a kind of an easy way to make a dictionary. Let me show you how that works. Let's see. Actually. Here's the English hypertexting. This is English, so we're doing English today. This is the English translation area here. And so there's a thing for the working version of the translation, and then the which doesn't seem to be current. That's also posted on the other website, and then there's the hypertexting, English hypertexting, which I'll show you that. Let's see. I think the most current one, here's the most current one. Anthony has been doing some hypertexting, and he seems to be doing very complete and thorough and up-to-date hypertexting, so it's very nice. Let's see. I'm going to get the wait a second, is that it? No. The text. Here's the translated text. So you can see how it looks before it's hypertexted. It's a little bit slow. Maybe while we're waiting, we can look at the other one. This isn't really typical. This is sort of the title, and the title is a little bit different style. But this is kind of how it looks. But I'll go through and show you how to do it. It might be easier. This is something that's kind of cool. This is a dictionary search thing. And see this thing, gmrdic.dic. This is the dictionary that comes from the hypertexting. So somebody give me a word, and here's a word right here, namshe. I was looking that up earlier. You just type it in, and then you do find entry, and then you get this. This is how, according to the hypertexting, these are the words that have come up with hypertexting. So a good explanation, true thought, namshe gomparapsel, perfect explanation, illumination of true thought. So these are the things. There's another thing you can do with this particular dictionary, and this is just sort of a generic dictionary search function program that is actually not part of our thing, but it's something that I had, and I plugged this dictionary into it. You can do all instances. And then you get, there might not be any more, but one thing that I think is kind of cool that I do sometimes is like, say like that, and then you do find all instances. Then you can find all the English times where it's used, and then you can see explanation. Then you get all the different Tibetan words. It's sort of a backwards. It's almost like English Tibetan. Oh, you can. Is that available? It's Ted's thing that comes from. I'm sorry.
Right, you just have you just have a paper thing, right?
Well, no.
Text file.
Yeah, I have the text.
Or do they give you text or PDF?
Yeah.
Text, okay.
This is just how I use it, you know.
I have to do a find the word.
In text edit.
Yeah.
Maybe we could just share that, because
everyone doesn't have this function.
Yeah, everyone doesn't have that.
But it's really cool, and if you have something like this, you can.
Can you take that off, Fenton?
Yeah.
The numbers after.
Oh, yeah. That's Ted's code for the person who input it, who did the hypertexting.
7-1.
Yeah, and so then.
So like, if 15 people hypertexted texts, and in each of those texts, the word shepa appears, then you would see a list of all the people in whose text shepa appeared, so that you could, like, for example, if you happen to know that a particular hypertexter is very knowledgeable about Tibetan and another hypertexter is less knowledgeable about Tibetan, you have a question about what shepa means, then you would probably trust the hypertext that the more experienced hypertexter did. And so, of course, the way this works is that over time we all get more experience. And so you have like some basis for figuring out what's going on.
And hopefully, see, as more and more people are doing hypertexting, obviously this thing expands and becomes more and more accurate. And so that's what we're doing in English. Now, we're also hoping that people who are other native language speakers will do the same hypertexting different languages. Like, I think there was an Italian who did a bit, And then, you know, gradually they can create dictionaries with all the different languages. And that'll make it a lot easier for people to translate. Now, if you do have this particular text file with a dictionary, it's recommended not to use it for translating or not to use it for hypertexting, because then if there's a mistake in there, then you just reintroduce the same mistake again and again. So it's better to use a different dictionary if you have one, if you're needing to use a dictionary.
So then I have another question. When we're doing the hypertext for Bojimpa, we shouldn't use this dictionary.
Better not to, yeah. Don't use this when you're... well, actually, for Bojimpa, it's just a it's personal use.
Yeah, for personal use, I think...
Personal use, it's okay.
You might get a wrong answer because the person that hypertexted, possibly me, didn't get that well enough.
Yeah.
Ellie, are there any dictionaries you'd recommend for people to have in your experience that have been useful? Because you've done a lot of hypertexting.
I usually just use an online one. Not really.
Okay.
Well, I often use Rongjing Yeshe because it looks to me like they've done the same thing that we're doing here, and that they've done a hypertext dictionary. It looks like, or they've done a lot of translations. But the thing is that their translation, a lot of the stuff, they don't have a lot of the Galupith stuff in there because they're Kagyu, and so. I think when we finish ours, it'll be a little bit, you know, there'll be more of the Kalupa monastic textbook words, terms used in it. And it'll all be more defined by Geshe-la, who's graduated from the monastery. And so I think it'll be maybe a little bit more appropriate for what we're doing. They have an online one. Yeah, I haven't used it too much, but I think it's good. I mean, it would have to be, wouldn't it?
I just put that up on TibTrans, by the way.
What?
The fly file.
Oh, okay.
Maybe not the exact one you have.
Okay, so the dictionary, the current version of the hypertext dictionary is now available on the TibTrans. That's the B board or the other one? It's the other
one. TibTrans is the other one.
Okay.
Just the
Let's see if we have it. No, don't have it there. Okay.
Yeah.
So that would be, that's okay, that's on this website. Okay, so here's the current working version. Is it big enough for you guys, or should I make it bigger? Can you read it?
If you can make it bigger.
I can make it bigger, yeah. Let me just figure out. I think I can make it bigger. How do you make it bigger on this thing? Where is it? Oh, it makes text bigger, yeah. Okay, is that big enough, or should I make it bigger even? Okay, that should do it, huh? Okay, so this is the current working version of the what we're translating in this class. And this also gets updated on the website after every class. That is attempted to anyway. Usually we manage. So maybe I could use this as a demonstration of... Oh, I can't because it's... anyway, so you see what it looks like, and then I'll get the other one and we'll do that. Where is it? Everything got crammed up in the corner. I don't think this is a good way to do the icons. Is that it? Oh, God. Huh? What? They can either look at the one that's, people who are online can either look at the one that's on the bulletin board, or they can look at the one on the the either on www.dmes.org/tibtrans and then click on the current translation, or you could go to www.dmes.org/trans-bboard and then the topic that has the current hypertext.
Okay,
so maybe we'll just use this one. It's easier, I think. I'll make that bigger. Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, so I'm going to go down a little bit farther because this is a little bit more complicated later. But basically, here's how you do it. He does it a little bit differently from how I do it. Okay, so let me just get a different one then. I think it's here. Text. So here's the current Umachidun. Okay. So here's how you do it. First you bracket off the words. And you put a number there. Ted, you tell me if I'm doing it wrong, okay?
Okay.
If you don't know the words, you'd probably bracket off each syllable. But if you do know the words, you can get away with just doing it like this. So what you're doing basically is you're bracketing off each of the words. Now you see here this apostrophe I, that's a grammar particle. So it's probably translated. It'll be translated with a different word in English. So you want to bracket that off separately. Yeah, you see, right here, there's no space here, because it's all the same word. So seven, chidin. Numshe. Gongpa Rabsel. Oh, is it Rab or Rabsel? Oh, he did them all together. I'll do it the way he did it. Yeah, it's the text, so it's the title of the book.
You can double hypertext it.
I could.
And you should.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I will. Okay. So, I guess I should do the whole thing first. But I don't think I will.
This would be a good time to maybe start.
Huh? To start what?
Actually hypertext.
Okay. Tensho Chenpo. Okay, who knows what Tensho is? Anybody?
Classical
commentary. Okay, Tensho. So, that's here, right? What? Oh, wrong one. There. It wasn't supposed to be there.
Oh,
she put accent.
Yeah. Okay, so Tensho is one, and you hypertext it to classical commentary, just like that, with the brackets. And you put a one on before classical commentary, and you put one before Tensho. And then Chenpo. Great. Right, so that's just before. And you do like that. What is it? Two. Right? Okay. Uma.
Middle way.
Middle way. So that one is number 3. And that's at the end here. Now, when you do this, you bear in mind that you're going to end up with this text file with say Tensho and one and classical commentary next to it. So I've seen sometimes just to bear in mind, like sometimes there's like with up here, you have Matipa, and it's been transliterated into Sanskrit transliteration, but it's not translated. So there's really no point in hypertexting it, because you end up with Matipa, and that's Matipa, and it just kind of like it's not, you know, it looks a little lame when you end up with the dictionary.
But you could hypertext the Sanskrit to the English.
You could hypertext the Sanskrit to the English, yeah.
Might confuse people.
Well, you could. I think eventually we're going to do Sanskrit hypertexting as well. Oh, we already are, I guess. Okay. Then, okay, Uma, La. Where's the La in here? So I think what I would do in this case is say... Lajupa, yeah, that's what I was going to do. Okay. So you take this thing out here, and you make it Lajupa, and then you put entering. Yeah.
All this presumes that you know what Lajupa means. So for
myself... Oh, okay, right.
What do you do with that?
Okay, so we'll take it one step back from here then. 4. Okay, so... Lajupa... Okay, so say you, okay, the next one is Chidun, right? S-P-Y-I-D-O-N.
And I have no idea what that means.
Okay, so you get your dictionary, and I'll just use this online dictionary because that's what I have. But you can use any dictionary. And you put in Chi. We learned how, what? Did I, yeah. Well, normally you wouldn't, but in this case, because it's what I have and it's easy to show, then we'll use this one just for now. Okay, so Chidun is overview, right? So what you do, what I did when I first started was, okay, you got your word, it means overview. Okay, then you go through and you look through something that looks like overview. Maybe I'll do it. I also have the Rangjin Yeshe dictionary in here, so suppose you're doing Rangjin Yeshe, they might have something more. Okay, so they have quite a bit. General meaning, chapter, common good, main point, basic principles. So this is more like a normal dictionary. Ours will look more like this when we get more data. Okay, so now you know what you're generally looking for, and how would that translate according to the words that are in this paragraph. You see? It comes very quickly once you start doing it.
So then you
say, oh, that must have been how they translated it. It must be overview. Actually, with us, you know, you can actually listen to the tapes in this case and say, well, this is what was translated, because we kind of went over it pretty pretty thoroughly. So there you go. There's your Chidun.
But this helps us with the basic process for those of us that are just starting.
Right. When you're just starting, when I first started, I'd look up every single word.
Yeah.
And then try and figure out where they go. And then and gradually, I mean... More quickly than you would think, you learn them. And
Shockingly quickly.
It depends on, yeah. Sort of like if you get into crossword puzzles or something, then, you know, pretty soon you know all these really obscure words that... it's like that. Yeah. It's a similar... And that's actually... I mean, if you're like... I know, I used to have a job where I'd just sit there all day and wait for something to happen, and then when it happened, I'd do it, and then I'd have to wait a long time. And I got into crossword puzzles. But, you know, if you have a job like that, hypertexting is a really great thing to do, because it's a sort of a similar skill. You can drop it, pick it up and drop it, and you're learning something, and you're helping the cause to translate Tibetan books. Okay, so are there any questions on this in particular? Yeah.
Can you show on screen the name of the dictionary that you're about to use?
The one what?
The Rangjin
Yeshe. That's up here. It's actually, it's not on... They have a website. It's RANGJUNGYESHE. If you do a Google search, you can find them. Okay. And it's $50 to get the... Nitarta?
NITHARTA,
yeah.
And then the Mac program that you're using is called what?
I'm not even sure where I got this. It's probably better not to say. I think it came with another dictionary that I had, and I just plugged the data. I think actually what happened was I had it on my where did I get it? I think it was a no, that wouldn't work. I was thinking it might have been a Windows thing, but I don't know if it is or not.
What is it called, just in case we want to
think? Well, I don't know. I don't know what it's called. That's the thing. I mean,
if you want a dictionary program to use, you can download Hyperview, and it has a dictionary built into it. It's got the Jimbalby dictionary built in, which is sometimes good and sometimes not so good. It's very helpful for hypertexting because you actually have the context in front of you, so it'll help you to find the word even if the definition isn't exactly right.
So where is that? Where did you download it?
Oh, sorry, that is Hyperview.
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 Is that got to do with? Here's your. Is it related to this?
Yes.
Okay, here's Ted's hypertexting project.
Andrea put that up.
Andrea's version of Andrea's website for Ted's hypertexting project. And where is it? Is it on here?
Huh?
Is it on here?
Getting started at home, maybe?
Hypertexting starter kit. Yeah, this is probably what you want. Let me see if I can make it the right size. Yeah. Okay, so... Yeah, oh, this tells you all the stuff. Okay, so this is www.dmes.org/hypertext, HYPERTEXT. And that has everything you need to know about hypertexting, including a preliminary version of the hypertext dictionary, the couple dictionaries that you can, well, you can download Valby, or you can order the other one. General advice, stuff like this. So when you get involved in hypertexting, this is the website to go to.
Oh, now she wrote that webpage like a week before Hyperview was done and never updated it. Because
okay, well, she's going to update it really soon, right?
but anyway, if people go to hyperview.net.
Where is it?
Hyperview.sourceforge.net.
Where's that?
Hyperview.
Is it just like...
Delete.
How far back?
To the /.
Okay, so HTTP /. Hyperview.
HYPERVIEW.
Yeah.
SourceForge.
If you just do a search in the Google window for SourceForge and Hyperview, it comes up. The first choice.
Then... Okay.
But I'm getting errors trying to spell it.
So here's this. Yeah.
How is the workload of all these things distributed? In other words, if 50 people want to hypertext, how do you avoid duplications?
Who's in charge now? Is it you or is it Eric?
Eric.
You go to Eric. You say, I want a text to hypertext, and Eric will give you one.
When he gets it. And
how do we find Eric? Well, yeah, but he won't be here in 2 days. What's your email? Or is that just something you feel comfortable getting out?
Give it out on Facebook.
I noticed on Andrea's website there's
right now
I have 0 emails address. So maybe we can change that and see if it
opens up. Oh, okay. So people can go to the Hypertext website and click on the thing and they'll go to... Okay.
Well, they end up getting one anyway when you enter them, but he doesn't know that yet.
No, you can get around that.
Yeah, so...
He never taught me that.
So here's Hyperview. I haven't personally gotten into it myself, but anyway. What are you doing, Ted? Are you looking for something?
Hyperview.sourceforge.net to see what's going on.
Oh, okay.
Did you build this?
Yeah.
This is all his stuff.
Is there links for it on any of the Worldview?
Not that I know of.
We need to link all this stuff. Yeah.
There's a little bit of, this is a little bit of an unfinished work in project progress because What happened was that about a year ago, the number of people interested in hypertexting suddenly went down to zero right after the Tiger Writer talks.
Oh, really?
Well, because...
Oh, yeah, because everyone was... Yeah.
Everybody knew what the requirements were.
Yeah.
And so there just hasn't been any activity for a while because of that, but we need to get back into it now that presumably everybody's...
Caught up.
...lives are more in order.
Then we have more stuff to hypertext now, too. Oh, everyone suddenly had to finish the 18 courses.
Oh.
Yeah.
So suddenly, like, volunteers, anybody?
Yeah.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
It seems to me like no two people would hypertext the same text in the same way. How do you go through and make sure it's correct?
Well, I think Ted sort of...
Repeat the questions.
Oh, Aaron is asking about if people don't hypertext the same text in the same way, then how would you go looking for problems or things that aren't accurate? I think actually, if it's the same translation, then the hypertexting hopefully is very close to they would hypertext very similarly because ideally it's almost word for word. You take one and then. Oh, yeah. It's a judgment call. Yeah, exactly. That's a judgment call. Yeah. Sometimes it adds to it, you know, because sometimes I think, but, yeah, hopefully when you send in your hypertext work, then the person who receives it has a little idea about how Tibetan works, and then they kind of give it a look over and make sure it's correct before.
Just so you know, my experience with that is that nobody could ever possibly have the time to do that. It took me as long to review people's hypertexts as it did for them to hypertext. I think maybe not, but it's really time consuming. So the reality of it is that a couple of things you can do is one, as you hypertext, like. Now you don't know Tibetan very well, if at all, and that's okay. But as you hypertext, you will get to know Tibetan a lot better. Like, I'm starting to understand prepositional phrases in Tibetan, which is really freaky because I've never been taught it. So once you've been hypertexting for a while, you will start to notice that your Tibetan is getting a lot better. And then you'll go back over your old hypertexts and discover just how bad they are and fix them. And that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that I think it would be really great if more than one person would hypertext each text.
Yeah.
And then we'll have then instead of looking at every hypertext in the entire text, all you have to do is look at the ones that are different and say, oh, that's a trivial difference, I don't care about it. Oh, that's a real difference, I better look at it.
Yeah.
And then you're maybe looking at 1% of all the hypertexts in the file instead of 100%. I mean, I don't know if anybody online heard that.
People could be really good, good at Tibetan, and the other ones could be
beginners. Yeah, I don't even know how important that is. The other thing is that you should go to somebody who's better at Tibetan if you really have a problem. Generally speaking, you won't, but if you really have a problem, just ask for help.
Yeah, you can always ask for help if you have a question.
Is this a good time to mention? I don't want to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I'd really like to. If people have any kind of, like, if they feel a calm for this, if they feel interested in this, I'd like to have, like, maybe a weekly online meeting. Like, we have all of the stuff that we've been using for the translation class to meet, to gather online.
Yeah.
And I'd like to continue that. I don't want people to feel like they're obligated to come every week or even a lot. But I'd like to be able to say, like, there'll be a particular time on a particular day when everybody who's interested will gather.
Like a chat?
A chat thing, and maybe we'll even do some voice, I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
You know, we'll see how it goes.
So just in case people didn't hear that, Ted is proposing that we have a weekly online gathering of people who are working on translations and sort of maybe a chat or something. And
yeah, no obligation to show up every time.
And just people who have that day free and want to come and participate. How are you going to set it up?
If people could maybe send me their email addresses, I'll
would
send
that work?
A mailing list. And
but we should have a link from the website.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll have a link from the website.
Okay.
I'm kind of
jumping in on top of what you're going to be doing.
Well, that pertains to this class, I think. Or you're talking about hypertexting or translating or both?
Hypertexting.
Oh, okay. So So then that would link to the hypertext website.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Eric would be... Oh. He's starting to look kind of glassy-eyed.
Like the idea.
Yeah? Oh, good. Okay. Okay. Oh, cool. Okay. So, that's very good. Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about what it was like to just start hypertexting? Oh.
Yeah, okay. Chucky wants me to talk about how it was like to start hypertexting. Actually, And I think people can do that here now, but when I started hypertexting, I was using tapes of Geshe-la translating something. And it was very similar to what we're doing here. And he would go over the thing and say, this word means this. And not every word, but a good number of the words he would give a translation. And then he would say, sometimes this word means this other thing and sometimes it means this. And it was really very helpful because... when I went through and tried to hypertext it, then I had the tapes of him talking about the words. And that made it a lot easier. And I think people who are hypertexting this particular text, since we have that same, it's not like just looking at it and trying to figure out what's what, but you actually have, you can hear him saying, well, it means this. And... so that's good for a start. And even if it's only half the words, that gives you half the words, and then you can guess at the rest of them. Sometimes when you're hypertexting, some of the words are similar. Even with this, we're talking about... let me see if I pull it up again. Is this it? Yeah. Like with the text that we're hypertexting here... I think I went too far. Oh, this is the one that Anthony... Anyway, you say, it says like, herein contained is a lamp for those of clear mind, which is an illumination of the true thought of the illumination of true thought. Now, that kind of thing is a little bit, sometimes that can be tricky because it's the first true thought that he's translating, or it's the second time it's mentioned, or it's a lamp, and you have all these illuminations. And so... it's a bit of a challenge, and you could, sometimes you just guess, and you learn, and I think it's fun, actually. then, if you're doing, like, the classes, a lot of the hypertexting that needs to be done are the ACI courses, and a lot of that material is also covered in tapes, or in the notes, or, it's accessible what it means to some extent anyway, and it gives you a bit of a foothold. So it's good to use the tapes if you have them. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I did it. That's why I started my own version, because I thought it would be easier to follow. But now I don't know what I did with it. It's probably buried somewhere. Let's see. Is this it? Yeah, here we are. Okay. So, and I think with the Hyperview, is that the program that you wrote to?
Hyperview,
yeah. that sort of eliminates the numbering, I think, in some ways, doesn't it? I mean,
it auto-numbers. So it knows what numbers you've used. It actually goes through whenever you load a text and makes a list of all of the numbers. And
right.
If you ask it to give you a new number, it'll give you a number that hasn't been used before.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, to do it this way becomes very cumbersome after about three pages, because you're up to, 578, 579. And before you do anything, you have to bracket everything off and put the numbers in, and it becomes really cumbersome. But
do you give the same numbers to the same word, like tempo, every time it appears? No.
Not necessarily, no.
You must not do that. Because you're hypertexting context. Context is important here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So tempo in one case might mean great, as in great sutra. In another place, it might be like
big. Yeah.
And you want the chenpo that was big to be hypertexted to a different thing than the Chenpo that was great. And furthermore, even if you've got two Chenpos that both mean the same thing, you really still want them to have different numbers, because then you can see which Chenpo corresponds to which, and that can help you with grammar.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Why are they numbered?
You just have to have some way to connect them.
It's a way of connecting
you could like draw a line between the two words or something like that, but then that's much harder. It's much harder to write a program that lets you do that.
The carrots do that, don't they?
What's that?
Carrots draw the lines.
Well, how do you know, like, if you put carrots around Chenpo and you put carrots around Tekpa, how do you know that the Tekpa refers to vehicle and Chenpo refers to grade?
And you put, like, numbers and letters?
Just numbers.
The way we have it set up, we just use numbers.
You can't put in letters. No, it's per file.
Letters are
it gets like that real quick. Which is when you wrote the program, right?
Well, I've been sort of doing it for like 5 years now.
Yeah, it gets really high. You know what I usually do to start another text? Like, you can always hypertext each chapter separately, or when you start getting, the numbers start getting way out of hand, you just start another file. And then whoever is sorting it out sorts it out. I don't know how they do it, but that's Ted's job. So it seems to work. Any other questions or comments?
So why can't you use letters?
Sorry?
Why can't you use letters?
Because the standard says that you don't use letters.
We just invented this whole thing.
If you use letters, because then you don't know, like if you were to use letters at the beginning of the angle bracket, it'd be easy to confuse that with the word.
Well, if you had
how many letters
out there? Yeah, you want to have 14A because you. The way I do that is I just add like a couple of digits in front of it. Like I'll say 9014 instead of 14A. Because the thing is that if you use numbers and letters, then it actually, it just makes
it
harder.
It slows it down.
It's not so much that it slows it down as that it's just like it's harder to implement the code and it's harder to tell what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I can see why you'd want to do that.
Oh, I didn't do it. I don't think I will either. Okay, I just want to show you one more thing. Gompa Rapsal, Illumination of True Thought, right? Also within that, there's Gompa Rapsal is a number of words, and Illumination of True Thought is a number of words. So within that, you can nest more hypertexting stuff. So, let's see. So what you do is you pull out your dictionary, right? And you make it smaller if you can. I don't think it's going to go smaller. Let's see. Nope. Okay, that's as small as it goes. It doesn't even want to go off the page. That's very stubborn. Okay, so so let's start with Gompa. Or let's see, what did I start with there?
You could do Command Tab between applications.
I could do that.
Okay,
Gompa. D G O N G S P A. Okay, so find entry. Bam. Oh, too much. So I'm going to go to Geshe-la's dictionary, which tends to not have as much. So that's true intent, thought, true thought. Did you have a question? Oh, okay.
I just found another source for a dictionary.
Oh, okay. So that's true thought. Let's do it like that. Ted's right. Okay, so true thought is Gompa, right? So you bracket that one off. You put a new number in. How far did we get on there? So this is where you start getting complicated with numbers. I think we haven't used 10 yet, so I'll put 10 here. Okay, so within Gompa Rapso, Gompa means true thought. Then what about Rabso? So let's do Rab. Highest ability. Burst forth with a blaze. Yeah. So according to this dictionary, Rabsel means illumination. So I was hoping to break it down further, but I don't think it's not broken down any further in this text. So, but anyway, you get an idea of how that works. You have to put the, make sure you put the brackets. See, there's two brackets on the end. And then,
that's a good example of where you might put in one syllable and it doesn't come out right, and then you have to put in two syllables and then one more.
Rubs.
So you put the rubs up before the illumination or?
Oh, actually, you're right. Well, actually, there's no. I think you could go either way, couldn't you? I think for a dictionary, you would probably want to have no the there because it makes it too confusing. So, there. So it's the illumination of the. So you see.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have interrupted you, but I think that's more the way you've done it is more correct because if you did it the other way, then the definition for Robso would be the illumination.
Right.
That
makes
sense. Whereas illuminating Gongpa Robso to the illumination of the true thought is correct because now you're saying this title.
So that's sort of a way of, it's sort of to just demonstrate that it's always a good idea to think in terms of how is it going to look in a dictionary. Do you want to have Rabsel come out as dot illumination, or do you want to have it come out as illumination? Even though there's no article like da in Tibetan, you don't want to leave it in there. You wouldn't take it out. And then you see here that the isn't translated, of the isn't translated, because they're not in the title. So they're not in the title explicitly. They're sort of implicitly in the title. So that's and that's always a good thing to do is when there's a bunch of different things like this, like in a title or in a phrase, to translate individually and the whole thing as a phrase, because it gets more colloquial. It's more of a colloquial dictionary that way and how things are actually used. And it's helpful for people who are translating later. Okay.
The other cool thing about Rabsel is that, because one of the things I find frustrating, because I'm not very good at this, is trying to guess. Like, you get more used to, like, tenchu is one word and it's two syllables. But until you do, sometimes if you look up Rab and I forgot what you got for it.
Heist.
And you look up cell, which means aluminum light or something. And then you can't find it in the hypertext, so try Rob cell together. Mm. And it's something that takes patience, I think, because I get impatient with myself.
But it's a really good way to learn Tibetan.
Yeah, it is.
Can we finish doing that?
Sure, why not? Okay. How far did we get? We actually didn't, but okay, we can start there. We didn't. We got as far as Lakjugpa, I think. Yeah. Jukpe. Now Jukpe is entering, so I'm going to take this out and leave it the way it was. Sometimes it means something else, but in this case, that's how it's used. Okay, then Chidun. Who wants to venture a guess as to what Chidun means?
We did that one.
Did we do it already? Oh, okay, good. Then Namshe. Did we do that?
No.
No, okay. Who wants to guess what Namshe means? I don't know. Huh? Well, see, then when you... Yeah, go to the dictionary. So... What is it? B-S-H-A-G? Good explanation. True thought. Perfect explanation. Yeah, so... Okay, so... So how'd that be? True thought. Okay, Namshe. Yeah.
You were actually right before that Akibi after Jukpa is the of the finals.
Chupay, Chinun. Oh, yeah, you're probably right. Let's see. entering. No, it isn't in this case, yeah. Okay, so then we got Gompa Rab Sel Ki. Huh? Sometimes I start at the other end. Yeah. But let's go through and do the rest of these. Is it Selwa or is it Sel?
Selwa is
yeah, right, okay. So in that case, the R means it's a some kind of a grammatical particle, and so you add it like that with no space, no space here, like the same way we did before. Huh? Am I? Oh God! If I'm the star hypertexture, then you've got problems.
Why do you think Vishala is always giving you those strong names?
Is it Drome or Drone May? I'll do them both. When in doubt, just do them both, and then you can take one out. I think Shejawa is a really common phrase, so I think I'm going to put it all in one, and then we can break it down later. Okay, so shukso is hearing contained. I just know that because it's every time you turn around, there's a shukso. and then let's see, a lamp. This is when it starts getting a little tricky, especially when you're online.
That's like fire, isn't it?
Drone May. Shall we look it up? Let's look up Drone May.
Maybe they're doing that Sanskrit thing.
Oh, Drone May, lamp. Drone May, lamp. Okay, so that's a lamp. So I can. I wasn't sure if I could take that out, but I'm going to take them out in between, right?
Was that the same way you said that was in drama?
Yeah, goodness, it's like helpful fire or something.
Yeah, but see, now you can't translate even if it means helpful fire. You can't translate it that way because it's a lamp.
Right.
Yeah. If it was, if it wasn't.
Yeah, it's like an etymology thing.
Yeah.
Actually, if you look up.
I don't think I did Gompa yet. Did I?
Gompa?
Yeah.
The Gong is in true intent, right?
Oh, yeah, I think we did that. Okay, so.
Oops.
What?
It seems like you just pasted a Dren up there.
Did I?
Yeah. Up above Matiba.
Oh. A lamp for. See, you can either go through this the Tibetan and try and figure it out, or you can go through the English and try and figure it out. But it's actually probably better to pick one or the other, unless you get stuck, and then you can change. You see what I mean? Like you can go through the Tibetan for a while and figure out what you're doing, and then switch over to the English and say, oh, well, I don't know any more Tibetan words, so I'm going to look at the English, and, oh, yeah, here's hearing contained, and I always know what that is.
It's like going across and then down.
Yeah, sort of like, it's very similar to a crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
Okay, so, let's see. Dencha chenpo umalajuk. Should we do umalajuk? Chidun. Do we do Chidun yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you've got everything up to...
Namshe.
You didn't do Namshe. We couldn't figure that one out.
Oh, did we look it up?
Oh, wait, no. It was Namshe explanation. Yeah, yeah, we did get that.
Okay, yeah. Done. Gomparapsa, we did that. Ki.
Gomparapsa, ki.
Gompa.
Oh, so ki would be of, right?
So, so Gompa is true thought. I think maybe...
yeah, you're right.
So maybe
Namshe
is illumination.
So wait a sec. So this one's, and then the gi would be of, right?
Yeah.
Which
okay.
Is
of,
though? What's
yeah, that's the problem, because, yeah.
Is
would
illuminate.
That be illumination?
That's illumination.
Yeah.
Which one are you looking at?
Well, Selwar J is illumination, actually. Selj is lamp, is another word for lamp.
So which illumination is it, though?
But
well,
we have
cell
one.
If you go backwards.
Number
14. Yeah, cell J is elucidate. So cell R J phi is just a long way of saying the same thing.
So where are we? Which illumination are we looking at?
So I think that cell J is illumination is the illumination you have in hypertext.
That one.
Okay.
Yeah. And maybe Namshe is presents.
That's what it is. You're right. Namshe would be present. So which? This is cell J. 14? Sowa. Okay. Okay.
So
where Chaba?
So 7 is presents. Or, sorry, 8 is presents.
See, this is a very much a group project here.
I think
7
maybe,
is presents?
It would be more correct to say that Namshe Gong, Chidu Namshe translates as presents an overview.
Yeah, because
and
Namshe
then,
really
and then not say that Namshe means
presents. Shidum Namshe. Shidum Namshe, so 8 would be presents, right?
Well, no, 8 would be presents an overview. See, this is a case where I don't think
it's... Oh, I see what you mean. I see, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And as you can see, this is all very subjective.
No. 7 is still overview.
Oh, okay.
So you're just hypertext.
Oh, I see. It's a nesting hypertext.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oops.
Why are you doing that?
Okay, so presents doesn't mean Namshe. Namshe isn't a synonym for presents.
Namshe means like an explanation or
yeah.
A commentary.
Okay.
But Geshe La translated translated Chidu Namshe as presents an overview, I think. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it makes sense to say that Chidu Namshe translates to presents an overview. But it doesn't make sense to say that Namshe translates to overview or translates to presents.
Got it.
Right?
Yes.
But Chidun does. This is something that I run into a lot, actually, because he's translating poetically to make it sound.
Yeah, I like what Ellie just nested it, and that's good, I think.
Oh, we did John May already. Okay, so what are we missing? We got it mostly, right?
We got most of it except for the
So you need to fix up, or did you already fix up? No, you need to fix up Chidun Namshe.
Where's that?
So you need to put the 8 before Chidun now?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Before
but
that.
But she nested. Oh,
yeah, no,
here?
It needs to be nested as well.
Oh,
so
I see.
It's
nested.
So this is.
8, 7.
Chidun actually means overview, so the
Chidun,
7.
No, Chidun was 7.
Yeah, Chidun 7. No, see, she nested. See the English, it's nested.
I know, but I'm looking at the Tibetan.
She's nesting the Tibetan.
And Chidun is 8.
So Chidun Namshe is...
Right. No,
Chidun is that, did I do it right?
Chidun is still 7.
But
in Namshe is 8?
You put the 8 there. Now add another open angle bracket. Space. No. Don't move. Just add the open angle bracket there.
Oh, okay.
After the 8.
After?
After, yeah. Space.
Because you're
open angle bracket.
That's not how I do it.
Back up.
What?
Back up. No. Delete that space. 7.
The word is delete, not back up.
No, this is confusing.
7.
Oh, okay.
It is confusing.
Oh, okay, so this is...
Space,
yeah, right, okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, so it's Chidun...
That's 7.
Right.
Yeah,
okay,
this is
and...
Until you've done it a few times, and then it becomes pretty obvious.
Yeah, okay, and then this is like that, right? So the whole thing is Chinnanamshe is 8, right? Which is presents an overview down here. See, and then overview itself is Chidun, and that's bracketed off separately. You see how that works?
What about the 9?
It's a mistake. Where's the 9? Oh, 9 is a mistake. That should have come out.
And what is Namshe?
Well, look at it.
Namshe generally means
explanation. But you can find out by looking at the hypertext, presents an overview.
Nine is where we grouped illumination of the true thought together. That's a complete, no, that's good.
Is it?
We're not getting rid of that.
Yes, it
okay.
Is. Number 8 is
okay.
That whole
fruit.
Yeah,
okay. Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, got it. Okay. Is everyone thoroughly confused?
The
nesting
kicks are confusing.
Nesting's
right.
A little
confusing. You need to put the 9 up. Yeah, Gongpa Rabsol needs its 9 back at the beginning.
That was here, right?
No, same place.
Yeah. Too many cooks.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there has to be... Okay, that's it. So the whole thing is Gongpa Rabsol, right? And if you look, so that's 9. 9 is Gongpa Rabsol. Look down here to 9. That's the whole thing, the illumination of the true thought. Then within the 9, you have Gongpa, which is true thought, and you have Rabsol, which is illumination. Okay? That's how nesting works.
Will you do the nesting for Chidun also?
Are people confused about Chidun? I thought I explained it a couple times. Okay, 8 is Chidun Namshe. And then you look down here to 8, presents an overview. Okay? Then you look up again. Chidun itself is bracketed off separately, and down here below also is overview. So we could, in theory, we could also bracket off Namshe as presents, and we didn't do it.
Closing angle bracket after Namshe. There only needs to be one there.
You need to add one.
Oh, you're right. Sorry.
You got it right.
Yeah. Okay. That was from before. But let's put one in anyway, and we can do Namshe separately. Okay. Presents.
But it doesn't really translate to presents.
It's translated here as presents, though.
Yeah, but
that's how
really,
he's using it.
Really, is that really what Namshe means, or is it just the case that Namshe...
Well, but when it's used... I mean, my understanding is that when you're hypertexting that, if it's used in a particular case, then it kind of goes to the bottom of the list when you make the dictionary, but it's one of the possible translations. But... You're the dictionary guy, so if you don't...
You really ought to be able to mark it and say, this isn't really what the word means, but it can be used this way.
Is that... Well, how do you want
to
do it?
I don't have a way to mark that.
Okay, so let's don't do it. Okay?
Yeah.
Is everybody... Okay, so that's basically how it's done, and it's... usually when one person's doing it, it's a little bit easier because you don't have all these conflicting opinions. And but it's kind of cool because sometimes I found that, I work on it for a while and then I go to sleep and the next day I look at it again and I think, that's not how it is at all, So I'm...
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun, Okay, so what?
I'm still typing in.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to share this with the folks off.
Oh, and I've lost it. Where did the folks in the world? I don't know. I'm trying to go up. I'm pressing as hard as I can, and it's not going anywhere. Here we are. Is that it? No. Oh, farther.
We also hit the bottom arrow.
Huh?
The arrow below it that's facing up will take you up to the top.
Will it? Oh, wow.
Yeah. We've already got to the beginning, so no more.
So what happened?
What happened?
Actually, no, you're still on at the top.
There we are.
Thank you.
Okay.
I wonder why Geshe-la Michael has decided to really teach everyone Tibetan instead of Sanskrit, when most of the works came from Sanskrit.
Well, the reason that Geshe-la Michael wants to teach people Tibetan is because the many, many texts were translated into Tibetan before they were destroyed in India. And then they were subsequently destroyed in India, and they don't exist at all. There are a few Sanskrit texts that are still available that aren't available in Tibetan, but most, by far and large, the most of them were already translated into Tibetan. And so there's actually the largest collection of Buddhist texts exists in Tibetan only. And the reason he's teaching everyone Tibetan is so that they can be translate it as quickly as possible. When Buddhism went to Tibet, I think they had something like a 400-year period during which they translated, and then this the mothership was cut off, right? India, the Buddhism was destroyed in India. We don't really even have that buffer. Buddhism has already been destroyed in Tibet, and so we have some advantages. You know, we have the computers and a lot of and so we're using those advantages that we have to speed up the process. But it still needs a lot of wise people to do the translations, and that's why he wants to teach as many as people as possible as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I mean, he says that it's probably about 200 years worth of work to translate what we've entered in so far.
Right.
So you do the math.
Yeah.
We need more translators. We need people that really speak Tibetan well, and not just for this lifetime, but also. We need to be able to pass on the lineage, because apparently there really aren't very many Tibetan monks left who understand these various different languages well enough to pass them on to us. So it's shaky.
Yeah, even now it's.
If we don't do this, nobody's going to.
That's true, and a lot of the Tibetans who are even trained don't seem to have the kind of compulsion certainly not to translate into English, you know, because. That's not so much that's not their language, you know, and it's our language.
Can I make a suggestion about this hypertext?
Yeah.
I think we should hypertext Lent for those of clear minds as one thing also.
Oh, right, okay.
So because it's the title.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so we're doing a lamp of clear... I'm going to put the A in there as well.
How do you know it's a title?
Because
it's capitalized.
So,
So,
Ted, help me here. Which one is it?
So
Umala Jukpa, right?
Yeah, Umala Jukpa is the whole thing.
So I have to find a new number that we haven't used, 24. Okay, so 24 is Umala Jukpa. And I'm going to cut it off at here. So I'm leaving the AI off. And then this will be 24. And then I have to separately do AI.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh. See how you are, Ted. Which one is it? Which one is it?
Oh, yeah, you need to hypertext that, too. Might as well do that one now since you're on it.
Do I have to?
It starts at 18.
Yeah, listen.
Huh?
Starts at 18 in Tibetan.
Yeah.
At 18.
For
the one
you were
doing.
Well, so you might as well finish Uma since you've already...
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So which one is it then?
It's
Entering the Middle Way. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, so Entering the Middle Way is 24, right? And Uma La Jukpa is, where is it?
No, you want Losa Drunme is...
Where did it go? Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, okay, here it is, yeah. And that'll be 25. Okay, there we go. Okay, lamp for those of clear minds, which is 25.
Oh, you're right,
because it didn't get translated. Some things don't get translated because they don't get translated. Yeah, in different languages, you have different things that are understood. And now you happy? Mm-hmm. The only thing is, no. Sorry? Where's that?
Interesting. Is actually lamp, or, yeah.
Anyway, you guys get the idea, right? Okay, any more questions before we stop?
And that's actually what he just said and what I just said is really interesting, because this happens to me when I go back and look at the text.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Jepa means those. No, wait a minute. This whole thing means lamp.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah, so you look at it later and it's different. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it a lamp for those of clear mind? The word A is part of the title of lamp.
Yeah, that's why I put, see that 24 here? The 25? 25 is the entire title. And that connects to, where's 25 above?
You don't have the beginning.
Did I do it?
Yes,
oh, yeah. See, 25? 25. Los Eldronme, right? Los Eldronme goes to a lamp of those, for those of clear mind. See?
It doesn't need two carats on the left of 25 because...
Right. Because the A is
the
hypertext.
Yeah, isn't that cute? Yeah, it's all very tricky, but it's kind of fun to think about it. It's a bit of a...
You just do this for like a couple of hours and it'll start to feel very natural.
Yeah, and you learn your grammar really well, too. You kind of get the grammar sort of like the way you do in English. Without thinking about it. Yeah. Okay. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry I interrupted
you so much. No, you're welcome to interrupt. That's what it's all about. Okay.
Sangye shindu mikte o wagi Drokwe namda shingla chuparshu Idam gara ratna vandala kam niryatayami Dike wo Tsunami shere chume Dampa konyi tokpa